Well, says the Prime Minister today, at level one, all restrictions on businesses are essentially lifted. The only reason we are able to consider level one is because of strict border controls. No requirement for physical distancing in public places or seating requirements at restaurants. We can start community sport. But we do need new behaviours to start ongoing use of digital diaries, for example. But as we ready ourselves for alert level one, are we in our collective minds already there? Are we seeing what is termed pandemic fatigue set in? And is it a typical response? What can we learn from other pandemics on human behaviour when a country nears the end, or what we might think is the end of a pandemic? Dr. Geoffrey Rice is Emeritus Professor of History at the University of Canterbury and a Fellow of the Royal Historical Society, London. His many books include Black November, the 1918 influenza pandemic in New Zealand, which assisted the New Zealand Ministry of Health in preparing its current influenza pandemic plan. Dr. Rice, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Wallace. Thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure. Look, is this pandemic fatigue a thing, you know, where even though restrictions might be in place and medical authorities might urge caution, society says time's up and basically wants the pandemic to end now?
Well, I think New Zealand showed a remarkable degree of trust in government and health experts early in the outbreak. And after all, we've had brilliant leadership from the Prime Minister. And I think being shown the modelling and the examples of countries like Italy and Spain, most New Zealanders realised that this was a very serious threat. And if we did nothing, we would have thousands of deaths on our hands. And New Zealand has effectively dodged that bullet. It's been a most astonishing achievement, I think. But it's understandable that people will get fatigued, because people will obey the rules while they see a necessity for them or need for them. But once they see the light at the end of the tunnel, there's tremendous just natural human instinct to get there as fast as you can. And I can understand people being impatient with the restrictions. But I think so long as we have good border controls, we could probably cope with any odd cases coming back in. The one thing that bothers me, looking back to the 1918 pandemic, if you take the broader view, stand back and look at the whole pattern of 1918-19, that pandemic came in three different waves, and the first one wasn't the worst one. Mm. It was the second one that was really bad. And at the moment, it's almost as if we are just getting through the first phase of COVID-19. What happened in 1918, of course, was that the virus changed and became much more virulent and, for some reason, started killing young adults in great numbers. COVID so far, of course, has tended to kill the elderly or people with compromised immune systems. So it's really hard to judge where it's going to go.
It's very interesting comparing the pandemics and actually seeing some lessons can be learned. And you actually note that outward displays of kindness was in fact a feature of the 1918 pandemic, Dr. Rice.
That's true. Well, you must remember, COVID is very different from the 1918 flu. They're very, very different pandemics. The flu in 1918 hit very suddenly, and it's thought that overall, probably about 40% of the country came down with the flu. There were some towns where 90% of the adults were in bed with the flu, and it meant that a lot of people were at home either sick or looking after people who were sick. And in some cases where the whole family was down, neighbours came in to look after them. And there was an enormous amount of selfless neighbourly assistance shown at a time when, you know, the risk of dying from this thing in 1918 was very great. And I think people showed enormous courage and bravery as well, looking after their neighbours, as well as kindness.
Just finally, so what lessons can we learn if we look back and take the morsels of the past? How can we apply that for the future? There will surely be other pandemics, some saying more serious than this one. What can we learn?
What can we learn? Well, I'd emphasise what one of your panellists said before, that one of the big lessons of this thing is to realise that we're all in it together. And kindness to each other, when you're out walking, smile and even say hello to people as you go past. It's better than keeping your head down and shutting people out. we're very lucky here. We've got very good neighbours around us, and I've no doubt that in an emergency they would come and help, as we would go and help them. The difference with 1918, of course, was that it so many of the population were down with flu, and in terms of mortality, of course, there's almost no comparison. We've had 22 COVID deaths. In 1918, 9,000 deaths in the space of about 6 weeks.
Gosh.
But the other big difference, you see, is that this has gone on for a lot longer. Influenza characteristically peaks quickly and then dies away just as quickly. So there was no official lockdown in 1918, except for places like, you know, pubs and cinemas and theatres and so forth, and the banks shut for a week. But everything was reopening after only 2 or 3 weeks. And when people were well enough, they went back to work and things picked up again. So the interruption was quite brief compared with our long lockdown. Right.
Dr. Geoffrey Rice, Professor of History at the University of Canterbury, thank you very much for your time. And Chris, as we move to alert level one, of course, there have been calls, for example, the National Party saying we need to do it now. And then you hear that and you hear, well, we haven't thought about the second waves or the third waves. We don't want to think about that right now. What are your thoughts on alert level one?
Oh, we can deal with that when we need to, but I find myself in a very odd and uncomfortable position because I find myself agreeing with some of what Winston Peters has been saying. And given that we suffer from mutual detestation, that is a strange feeling. But I think that the sooner we get to level one, the better. I think we've lingered in level two for a bit too long, and I think people are ready to move on. People talk about all the great work the government has done. Well, their handling of it will be the subject of a royal commission in the fullness of time, and I think it's fair to say that they've done a reasonable job, but it's a triumph of the people and the fact that as communities we have recognised the threat and acted accordingly, but the community, which has behaved so tremendously over the last few weeks, is ready to move on, and I think the community's judgement call is right.
Okay, Tabor Khan, your thoughts on what Chris has said there and alert level one?
Yeah, look, I can't believe I'm agreeing here, but I do also want to acknowledge the community because it is the public response that has meant that we've done so well. We are ready, right? Because this is not normal. This is not normal for anyone to be living in such a drastically different way. It's all about taking precautions and measures that we don't end up like other parts of the world. So I think we've got there now.
Do you think that, I mean, we have got there now, but the economic pain has been excruciating, Tabor? Looking
absolutely.
At the CBD this morning, going through two favourite cafes, they're empty, whereas they were once full.
Yeah, look, Wallace, I mean, no one is denying that this is has and will have a significant economic impact on many, many fronts. But was there a different way to deal with it? I think that is what the experts need to now look back at, right? At that point in time, we responded to the guidance of the government of the day in terms of how we could best survive this virus, which at that point, not many of us knew much about. The impact of it is the economy and, you know, the lives, the 22 lives that we have lost. And I know we keep saying we've done really well, but we still have lost 22 New Zealanders. We can't forget them. And so this all has to be contextualised in what we've gained and then what we have lost.